Okay. Warning. The following is intended for mature audiences. It includes references to the use of illicit substances as well as crude humor. Listener discretion is advised. It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. And you are no figures. America. I'm Zach Nanimous.
I'm Johnny Dim.
And once again, you've tuned into the War Pod. Johnny Dim actually asked me to do something specific before we, officially started the show and I went through my spiel. He wanted me to talk about some of the great things that are happening just in the war loxosphere. He wanted me to remind you guys to check out YouTube. We do have two videos up for our Let's Play going through the entirety of the Master Chief Collection, starting with number one, which we've already completed. How many episodes?
Episodes, I think it's around 4 or 5. We're still in the first half of the first Halo, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll be completing that all the way through, so for Halo fans, you'll be able to see our great gameplay and scathing commentary throughout the proceedings. Also, don't forget that we are still right smack dab in the middle of a little competition to see who's going to be the guys or gals that get free laser tag from Battlefield Houston. That's right. If you go on Twitter and say at Warlocks Brew, then tell us why you like laser tag. Don't forget to include at, and that's BF Houston, Battlefield Hugh.
Battlefield Houston.
No, but their Twitter handle.
I think it was that, but I can check for you.
No, it's like Hugh. It's like Battlefield Hugh.
Oh,
H-O-U.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, it's not going to be difficult to find out Battlefield Houston's Twitter handle. Make sure and tag.
Yeah, it is Battlefield HOU.
Yeah, tag them and us. Make sure to tag them both. And if you're the first one or the second one to tweet at us, guess what? You get a free hour laser tag. And if you're any one of the five people after the first two, you get a free Battlefield t-shirt, which, if you haven't been there yet, is still a cool thing because that is an excellent company. It is tactical laser tag, headshots only. You're dodging, you're ducking, you're climbing stuff, oddly enough. And it's just a lot of fun, so don't forget to check that out. Is there anything I forgot, Johnny?
I believe that you, Zach Nanimous, did an unboxing video that we also want to, you know, at least put a little attention to it.
He's right. So if you check out, once again, if you check out our YouTube, you're going to see a lot of great stuff. I did an unboxing video with the help of my good friend Andy on Run, Fight, or Die.
Which is a fantabulous game.
Yeah, and so I got the game. It was the first night that we were playing it. I was just ecstatic to have it. I wanted to thank Richard Lanius again, just for his big sexy mind, really. That's what I wanted to thank him for. So yeah, don't forget to check that stuff out. And now I think it's time to start the show tonight on the War Pod. We are going to be talking about a litany of things. First off, we are going to speak a little bit about the new Minecraft story mode from Telltale Games. One of the creators of Avatar: The Last Airbender is starting a new project in the realm of, what do you call them? Oh, you know, those little things. Maybe you've heard of them. Graphic novels. That word literally slipped my mind, and that's why I stalled for so long. I wanted to talk, and by the way, all of this is news to Johnny. I wanted to talk about how Predator is coming to Mortal Kombat X, and I wanted to open a little discussion about just the weird characters that NetherRealm has been putting in stuff lately. Super Dragon Ball has its official intro out in the States. You can't see the video. You can't see the actual episodes yet. They're still Japan exclusive. But we do have the intro, and I wanted to get Johnny's opinion on that, maybe with a little bit of a let's watch. And I wanted to have a deep discussion about Mega Man. Now, like I said before, all that stuff that I just said is stuff that Johnny didn't want or doesn't know that we were going to talk about, or didn't know that we were going to talk about, because Johnny's big concept for this episode was we were just going to do our own individual prep and not tell one another. So everything that we're saying to one another is completely off the cuff. The other one has no preparation for it. So Johnny, why don't you open up discussions by giving me one of the topics that I'm not prepared for?
Well, I decided that I was going to go ahead and talk about something that I've kind of been reluctant to announce because I feel like there would need to be this big announcement for it, and really there doesn't. It actually makes more sense, I think, to me to just talk about it.
I think I know what you're going to announce.
Yeah.
Rayin on your wedding day.
Not quite. No, actually, I was going to talk about how we've been discussing the our options about maybe exploring Patreon, which is a crowdsourcing type of website, and it's a really interesting thing. I've actually been following it for a little bit because there's been some podcasts and other entertainment people that have gone in through and used Patreon. Mm-hmm. And I figured it wouldn't hurt to at least give it a shot and see if we can get a little money coming in so that we can do stuff that we really want to do. And that's as small as, you know, just buying new equipment, which would be like one of the first things we want to do.
That would be the first thing that we do.
It would, yeah.
So that we can increase the production value so that it's more enjoyable for the fans.
Right. And then in addition, on the high end, stuff that's more closer to a pipe dream level would be like funding us to go to, travel expenses for cons that we can go to, conventions, and so that we can go and report like we did at Comic Palooza and such.
And like we're planning to for Space City Comic Con.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's like we kind of need that income because it's, for us, we're not rolling in cash. I mean, this is a side gig kind of thing. We both work, and it's hard to do. Really, it's hard to do this as well as sustain a living otherwise.
We're getting pretty close to that panhandling mark.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to explain to people without, I guess I am doing a little heavy handed, but I'm
trying.
No,
that's fine. We are genderflecting before the Twitter sphere.
Right. Yeah. Cause the truth is we just don't have the money to support the podcasting stuff. It's actually becoming a really, almost more of a burden than anything else. Even though we love doing this, It's just hard to do it if you're going to lose money at doing it.
America, it's never been a burden to me. I love you. What do you think of that?
Nice. Yeah, so that's the thing.
And of course, with if you support us on Patreon, it's as simple as subscribing to us for like $1 a month. And you know, with that, you'd get special for perks such as early access, specific content. We're actually planning to do what Johnny is wrongfully calling an audio comic book.
I'm sticking by it.
It's a radio play is what it is. Yeah. But, we were thinking some behind the scenes content, early access for things like that. And maybe even a few exclusive episodes. And like I said, it's as easy as $1 a month. We already have the Patreon page set up. And if you're wondering how to get to it, never, ever forget. There are always links below.
Of course.
We need to incorporate links below as a character proper in the Warlock verse. That's what we need.
Like, that'd be a character? Like that?
Yeah,
like...
Links Bellow. I think it was Jay Jinx who said that sounds like a dude. Links Bellow or Links Below.
Yeah,
I think he said that was sound like a porn name.
Kind of does.
But that's a topic for a different cast. Asked. I got a chance to do the echo thing.
You did.
I did.
You didn't use Warlock's Tower at the beginning this time.
That's right. I didn't.
Okay, I forgive you.
But either way, is there anything else you want to say about Patreon? Wow. Did you notice that I can't, like, I'm talking to my lament today?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. You, like, is it caffeine? What is it? You... Mm-hmm.
I think I'm channeling Skaboy.
You've been talking to him?
No. His soul is just in my belly.
That's weird.
Rit, come out. Whoa. I'm Skaboy TD.
And
of course, that is a big compliment to my boy Skyboy TD. I absolutely he's the consummate professional. I absolutely love his style.
Of course, of Guys, Games, and Beer.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so is there anything else with the Patreon stuff? Well, no, I don't think so.
You know what I like about you?
What?
I like how you just drive it home. Minecraft!
Is that what you want to talk about?
For those of you who like segues. Yes. Minecraft. Minecraft, it's got this pretty interesting thing going on. Minecraft is going to have a story mode. And it's going
I saw that.
Yeah, it's going to be a series of games from Telltale Games. I always say just Telltale. T-E-L-L-T-E-L-L. It's Telltale. Telltale Games is going to be releasing a story mode for Minecraft. So essentially it's going to be Minecraft Adventure. And it's not that Minecraft wasn't an adventure, but this seems to actually be focused and has a story and characters and, oddly enough, voice actors.
That is really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know what it reminds me of when I look at it? It reminds me of the Lego Movie.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to be sort of, you know, riding the coattails of the, we're a ridiculous thing, and we're going to embrace the ridiculousness, but we're going to make it epic at the same time.
Right.
Have you seen anything about it?
No, I just saw a headline. I didn't read anything.
The cinematography actually looks pretty good. And for those of you who are fans of, Raising Hope, Virginia from Raising Hope, a.k.a. Martha Plimpton, is actually going to be lending her voice to it. And if I heard correctly, Patton Oswalt, yes, that's right, Patton Oswalt is going to be playing the lead protagonist.
Huh.
Yeah. And, I don't know, Johnny, did you play any Minecraft?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Of Minecraft?
Of base Minecraft, just regular old Minecraft.
It's a fun game where you just build stuff. I mean, that's what I used it for. I just said, you know what, I wonder if I can make a tower that looks really cool and run a, put a bat signal in the air, in the sky. And that's what I did. I mean, I just goofed around in it. It was just basically a sandbox where you can just a virtual sandbox.
You didn't make any supercomputers?
No, I didn't do a lot of circuitry.
Yeah.
The only circuitry I did was I created a switch that has a circuit, as a switch at the bottom, and then a circuit that went through my tower and then lit the little lights I put on top.
You created a circuit. Nobody wants to see shade anymore. I'm sorry, that was just. You know I'm manic when I do this stuff. Okay. You see, okay, I think I've voiced this before on the show, but it was a long time ago. I can't devote that much effort. I can't devote that much creativity. You know, video games, when I'm playing them, it's usually mental bubblegum.
Yeah.
You know, I'm playing it to not be doing something else. And with Minecraft, it feels like a real it feels like a real drain of creativity, where I'm going out and I'm testing the limits of my own ingenuity and architectural prowess and aesthetic knowledge and understanding in order to create something grand that amounts to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I'm doing that, I should be devoting my creativity to something that will be more accessible to the world around me, to add to the substance of the universe, as Commander Data would say.
Well, really, it's more like if you take it and put it through the lens of your creating artwork, then it really is the same thing.
Yeah, but I want, you know, I. And this is probably pure ego talking, but I'd rather write something that might get published than make something in Minecraft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
If only because more people will see it. You know, right. If you go, you know, if you're hobnobbing at the parties around Houston and you say, well, I just wrote a module for Pathfinder. People are like, oh, tell me a little bit about what's going on. If you say, I just made the bat signal in Pathfinder or in Minecraft, then people are like, you need help. you need medicine.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And did that hit too close to home for you? I'm sorry.
No.
Were you at Neil's bar chatting up the ladies with talk of Gotham proper?
Oh, man. My thoughts immediately went to, I wonder if there are blueprints of Gotham so I can create it in
Undoubtedly. As a matter
Minecraft.
of fact, it's time for Let's Search!
What, to see if there's blueprints?
Google.com, city plans for Gotham City. City plans for Gotham. Remember, that's Gotham, or Gotham. Gotham City. City plans for Gotham City. Yes, plenty.
Oh wow. Holy crap.
Images for city plans for Gotham City. Oh wow. It's actually divided into counties. Oh,
That's amazing.
there's Kane County. That's really cool. I like that. And there's Arkham Island.
How did I wait? No way.
There's Blackgate Island.
Oh my. Smithsonian.com has an article about the cartographer who mapped out Gotham City.
That's beautiful. Are those bat signals? Hold on, let me get in close. Yeah, so go ahead and check out Smithsonian. You can go ahead and type in Smithsonian.com, cartographer Gotham City, and you'll get a pretty good image of, yeah, Gotham.
Yeah,
The
I know.
real.
Yeah, it even has it like him, this guy hand drawing it, and it has different phases of the drawing.
Of course, their web mastery leaves a lot to be desired. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna get. Okay, there it goes. Wow. Yeah, there's Clipper Stadium, Sheldon Industrial Park. These are city streets. Chinatown, and yeah, a lot of his stuff matches up. A lot of this seems to have been standardized, possibly based upon his notes, because Blackgate is at the southern edge of the is off the southern edge of the island. His Arkham shows exactly north of Gotham, which is a little different. Yeah, Trigate Bridge. This is the work of an insane person. That's what this is. But you know what this is? This is Minecraft for the masses. That's exactly what I was talking about. Why make Minecraft when you can do this and be on Smithsonian.com?
Right.
And yeah, he's got number. This is eerie, is what it is. But it's beautiful. I'll say that much. I will say that. Johnny, your thoughts?
I'm trying to resist the urge to go make this in Minecraft.
What's clicking on it do? Oh, apparently it's Elliot R. Brown.
Yes.
Elliot R. Brown is the name of the cartographer, and he's got a whole website. He's got comic book artwork and stories. Punisher's Armory. He's got a lot of stuff. Oh, I guess he's just an artist.
That makes sense.
Yeah, good on you, Elliot R. Brown. I'm enjoying it.
Just an artist.
No, what I mean is he's not some wacko.
Oh.
He's not the ultimate Batman fan.
In fact, his website at the top of it says Mr. Technical.
I see Elliot R. Brown and home. When I it says home, can I go home? Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Mr. Tech. This is my online autobiography. It includes technical drawings, artwork, photography, writing, modeling, tips, information, musings. Elliot R. Brown, the Marvel Comics office, the modeling articles, and the artwork. We are rambling about stuff that the audience cannot see.
No, and it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. It just this is the kind of shit that happens on the podcast. We discover new artists and such. This is a guy I'm actually going to be interested in learning more about now.
This is a guy I'm going to be photographing
Whoa.
from an ultralight that I'm going to rent. And then I'll do a map of his property. And I'll send it to him. And I'll put on red lipstick and I'll kiss the top of exactly where his house would be.
That's not weird at all.
Nope. Minecraft, everybody. Okay, so apparently we got around to how you felt about Minecraft.
Yes.
Any chance that you'll be playing the Minecraft story mode?
Nope.
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 Too cute?
Too done with Minecraft.
Too okay, what made you done with Minecraft?
It was just if I was going to continue playing Minecraft, it would never end. I had some really vast, extensive plans of what I was going to do in Minecraft. And it just became too much. Like, if I was going to finish what I was doing, it would have taken way too long. And I don't want to get wrapped up in that.
See, that's where I am.
Yeah.
But, okay, the story mode isn't going to be like that. It's going to have Minecraft elements. You know, leveling up is going to have a lot to do with making your own gear and stuff like that. And there's a story to do. There's something to accomplish that isn't all on you. And so will ultimately be a much shorter experience.
Yeah, as much of that is going to be a part of Minecraft, to me, that's going to be a separate game. Like, that's something completely separate, because in everyone's mind that has been playing Minecraft, Minecraft is a particular thing. And to change it this drastically, this far into the existence of Minecraft, along the timeline, it's just going to be a completely separate game. So I'm judging that on its own merit, and it looks like something I would never play. I would never play a Minecraft game that was an adventure. I want to play a Minecraft game where it's just me in a sandbox and me building stuff. That's a completely separate game.
But you see, I think in that respect, Minecraft already is a lot of different games for a lot of different people. I know when Captain J plays it, all she's trying to do is build a house. She right. just wants to build the biggest, best house. Some people are, you know, in the hell maps building levels, you know, or like putting trap doors in, you know, big temples, and like there's puzzles to solve and stuff like that. Some people are just out hunting dragons and Endermen and stuff like that.
And some people are building layers underneath the ocean, such as mutual friend Marlin.
Yes.
Which I will be doing a video eventually of him and what he's done on Minecraft.
That'd be weird.
It's pretty impressive.
Well, what we need to do is, did you ever see that show? I can't think of his name, but he was the guy in the live action sequences of WALL-E. His name's like Frank Willard. Ed Willard. No. Okay. He did this show called Totally Obsessed.
Yeah,
you remember that show?
I think so.
Yeah, we should do one of those on Marlin and his underground lair. It does not tell him why we're filming it.
Almost like an episode of Hoarders?
Yes. Oh, dude, I saw the best. It wasn't best. It felt a little almost wrong watching it. But it was called Cooking with Hoarders.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Oh.
Okay, it was... It's a rarely seen YouTube video, and it's this guy that was trying to do like a cooking show in his apartment, and he's obviously a hoarder.
Oh man!
And like it's all first person, you know. He's just holding his phone up near his face, and he was trying to cook steak. And the first process, he had a frozen steak. It wasn't defrosted at all, and he needed some way to defrost it. And he said something about how people think it's wrong to, like, cook a steak in a pan. So he needed some heat. And so what he did was he went to the bathroom, which was one of the only clear surfaces he could find, was actually the rim of his toilet bowl.
Jeez.
And he lit some toilet paper on fire and held the frozen steak up to the fire as it burned.
What the hell?
Going back to the grill thing, he didn't have a grill. So he pulled one of the racks out of his oven and put it on his range. And he was going to heat up the oven rack on his range to make a grill.
God.
And the commentary, and it got, and I really hope that this guy is, you know, sought at least a little bit of help to, you know, change his habits around his house. But he was talking about how his place isn't disgusting. Because his house, and he said this place isn't disgusting if you know where to look. That it's, he said it's like a city where, you know, in a city there are good places to go and bad places to go, you know. So in his apartment there are good places to go and bad places to go, you know, which I think I was progressive, because he obviously knew you had a problem, but I thought that was interesting enough to talk about on the show.
Yeah, that's fairly interesting.
Also,
sure.
if you need motivation to clean your house, there you go.
Yeah, watch that.
That yes. Oh, Hoarders did that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hoarders is one of those things that makes you look at yourself and you're itchy. Your teeth itch. And you start throwing stuff away that you actually need.
Yeah. I don't need this phone anymore. This TV's just in the way.
This carpet's a real clutter. I'm a little clutter bug, aren't I? Having carpet all over the floor.
Got all these dishes in the sink. I was just throw away the sink.
There we go.
Yeah,
Okay, for me, Minecraft elements in an adventure game seems pretty interesting to me. I think I'm going to give it a play.
okay.
I really do.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm going to pass it back to you. You got anything?
Well, you ever watch the show The League?
I've heard of it. I think I've seen a 10-minute excerpt.
I believe it was Jay Jinks. He said, I don't think I'm misquoting him. He was a long time ago, said something about how the show is great and it reminds him of how like us friends will treat each other. And that kind of joking, like we'll do a lot of shit talking and we'll call each other different names that are really inappropriate.
Fancy Dan.
A
Fancy
dandy.
Dan.
Yeah, dandy.
I believe more than once you've told me to go pound sand.
Right. Yeah, along
Which,
those lines.
by the way, that's dirtier than you think it is.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, I was reading a comic. I think it was an old Teen Titans thing, and that's actually a shortened version of the phrase "Go pound sand up your ass." I don't know what they mean by that. It sounds like a great exfoliant, but I digress.
Right. So anyway, there's something that's been bothering me about the show because I've actually watched all the episodes.
Okay.
It was a particular weekend. I think I was sick or something, and I just binge watched all of it. And it is a good show, but there's something that bothers me about the show.
Okay.
Because we know we when we joke with friends, heterosexual friends, we sometimes we'll use homosexual,
Slurs.
slurs, yeah, and in a completely joking manner, it's completely innocent, and which is funny because I was actually talking to Marlon the other day, and his cousin is gay. And I had this epiphany when I was driving with Marlon in the car, and I was like, "Holy shit, we don't make fun of your cousin for being gay. We make fun of our straight friends and call them gay. It's this weird thing." I think those words have a definition all their own that don't refer to sexuality. But
They do.
anyway,
They do.
they do, but I mean, it's on another level. It's like it's not meant to be. It's not what it used to be. I'll say that. But anyway, I digress.
Nevertheless, hurtful.
Yes, they can be.
Yeah.
That's why there's an unspoken understanding with friends, with at least my friends. But anyway.
Completely unspoken.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they don't know.
They have no clue. But the thing that what I'm trying to get to is that in the show, they do use some of those in a way. But then they also use, they'll actually use, like, they'll say, like, I'm going to basically, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to have sex with your women, women's sexual organ. Like, I'm going to put mine in yours. And I don't understand what they're getting at because basically they're making fun of heterosexual sex. And
Yes.
they're talking to they're two heterosexual men talking to each other, and I oh, it has this weird thing where like they're basically saying, the sex you enjoy, I'm going to do to you,
Right.
which I don't understand.
But it'll be with that guy. It'll be with Kroll, Steve Kroll, which I think we all can agree would be a bit of a nightmare.
But the thing is, it's Nick Kroll, by the
Nick
way.
Kroll, there we go.
Nick Kroll will also be having this sex with the other person, but so they're demeaning the other person by just saying you'll be the one receiving it. Not in a place you wouldn't receive it if you had a vagina. It just seemed like they're demeaning the actual act of heterosexual sex to a heterosexual man, which doesn't make sense to me.
What they're demeaning is the ownership of a vagina is what they're demeaning.
Which that doesn't make sense to me. That's so counterproductive.
Okay.
That doesn't make any type of sense. Like,
I don't think that the league markets itself as a bastion of progressive ideas in gender equality.
it doesn't.
Today on Lifetime, the league.
It doesn't, but it boggles my mind because to me the making fun of someone and saying like, oh, I'm going to dominate you in a homosexual way, that makes more sense to me because it's alien to the person, you know, being told that. And it's not I'm just going to have sex with you. It's I'm going to bend you over and do stuff you do not want to happen to you.
Your mind goes weird places for show prep.
Yeah, does it?
I'm just going to say this is by far the weirdest thing we talked about on the show.
I absolutely admit that it's weird.
Yeah.
But the reason I brought it up, and it was actually kind of spontaneous, is because I've been watching the show, and this one subject bothers me that much. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And I just wanted to get that out there and, you know, get your reaction, I guess.
Well, I think, you're understandably bothered by it. It makes sense to hear something like that. But once again, it's a cheap laugh. I mean,
yeah,
you
is.
Know, people were uncomfortable with the stuff that, you know, Mel Brooks used to do. And that's exactly what it was there for.
Right.
Was a cheap laugh. Say something shocking. And in that respect, I think, okay, I'm not going to say it's a good thing. What I am going to say is that it's sort of enlightened in a weird way as to say, I'm going to shock you by making this sound like a bad thing, even though having a vagina is a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Anyway, that's...
What do you mean, you guess?
I don't know. It still bothers me.
It bothers you to have one?
To have a vagina?
Yeah, it would bother you to have one?
I'm not going to say it. Yeah, it might. you have to understand... I'm imagining a scenario where I would have one, and for me to have one, it would have to be either some type of surgery or some type of magic.
Magic.
Yeah.
Let's say magic right now.
Well, see, that alone would bother me because then the existence of magic would really boggle the hell out of me.
Alternate reality.
Alternate reality.
Yeah, you quantum leap.
I quantum leap, and yeah. In doing so, I just develop a vagina.
You become a woman.
Would I be complacent in this? Like it felt natural?
You would remember both the lives of Johnny and Jeanette simultaneously.
You know what? In that case, it may be okay.
Okay.
It might be okay. I might deal with it. I might, you know, whatever.
Does that mean that you and I can do the eternal bonding ceremony in Final Fantasy 14?
What's that?
It's marriage. That's it. It's their version. It's how you marry in the game.
Okay. Yeah. If that happens, if that's a thing, then we'll have to consider that. Yeah.
Get Bakula on the phone. We're gonna do some leaping. I like how that came after Minecraft. The show, the game whose biggest demographic has to be boys between 9 and 15. Either
yeah.
way.
What do you have next?
Ah, okay. I want to talk about one of the creators of Avatar: The Last Airbender, and that's and I'm gonna mutilate his name, by the way, and that's Brian Konietzko.
Okay.
Brian Konietzko has a new project coming out. It's they've obviously wrapped up Legend of Korra at this point, and he's going to be writing and drawing a graphic novel, which is probably going to turn into a series of graphic novels called Thread Worlds. Mm. And Thread Worlds is about what he describes as a scientific superhero. You know, a la Spider-Man or Ant-Man. Probably closer to, I'd say, like, Johnny?
Yeah.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, what did I do? I didn't do anything.
You know, it might be my headset. Say something.
Saying something.
Keep going.
Okay, I'm still saying something.
Okay, there we go. Honestly, when he says science superhero or scientific superhero, I think more who's a superhero who changed themselves genetically on purpose?
I know there's gotta be one.
I guess, okay,
There's a lot of
like
super villains that do that.
it'd be like if Captain America made himself.
Right.
Yeah, if Captain America was like, I'm going to be a superhero now. I have all the scientific knowledge necessary to make a super soldier serum. Here I go, put the whammy on himself, and done. You know, if he was a completely self-made soldier.
Harry Osborn.
Say again?
Harry Osborn.
Harry Osborn, yeah. Yeah, Harry Osborn, but in a good light. So Thread Worlds is about a scientific superhero who lives in a solar system where five different planets actually inhabit the same orbit. They're all
That's scary.
hula hooping around one sun.
Oh, so they don't share the exact same orbit.
Yes, they do.
So they're in a line.
Yes.
And
Going the exact same speed around the sun.
the same speed?
Yes. Otherwise, they'd collide.
I know, but how'd that happen?
It just happens. It's just gravity, man. I won't tell you. It must be that their individual orbits are so, the or sorry, the orbit that they inhabit is so far from the sun that there's significant distance to where their gravities aren't affecting each other, and thusly they don't pull on each other.
Okay.
It must be that.
Are they equal distance apart?
They seem to be. There's like a symbol for Thread Worlds, and actually in the symbol that they have for Thread Worlds, two of them appear to be further apart than all the other ones.
Okay.
So it's not a perfect pentagram, or pentagon. And one interesting thing that he said about this was that he wanted to aim it at all ages, but he was very interested in getting the young girls or the young women's demographic specifically because it was about a scientific superhero, and he was hoping to inspire girls to be more interested in science.
Okay.
And I just wanted to get your response to that.
It's not a negative thing.
I think it is.
You're lying.
Do you know how awful it is that women read?
It's terrible. But it's necessary. They can't read cookbooks without that.
That's extremely true.
It's a necessary evil, I guess.
Have you seen any of this before?
No,
It's
it's all news to me.
way too cute for you. I can tell you that right now. If you look at some of the art, like a lot of the characters are anthropomorphic kangaroo people,
Yeah, that doesn't really sound like my thing.
and they live in these wide, beautiful landscapes, kind of like Avatar, you know.
Oh.
Just these sprawling wildernesses with little meccas of society dotting the landscape, so there's plenty of room for them to have epic battles and adventures and learn about friendship.
That's fun.
You can't stand anything that's coming out of my mouth, can you?
No, I cannot.
Why is it that everything that is positive in this world just makes you angry?
That's a twist. You're twisting my words.
I'm not twisting your words. I'm interpreting your being.
No, because not okay. Everything that is good doesn't have to be cutesy and huggable. There are other positive things that do happen.
Okay. Tell me one positive thing that is impossible to hug.
Wait, why does it have to be impossible to hug?
You said it doesn't have to be huggable.
That's not, you know what I meant. Like, it has to be overly huggable. Like, it has to be like.
Okay, tell me one positive thing that's difficult to hug.
Porcupines are very important to the ecosystem, and I would not hug one.
Dude, special gloves, and guess what? They love scritch scratch.
I'm sure they do.
They really do. They're super cute.
I have a feeling I'm not going to win this one.
And by the way, them being able to shoot their quills is a complete myth.
I've never seen it. I've never heard that they could.
Yeah, they're beautiful little creatures. And the thing is that they never get love. So, you know, when they finally do get love, it's amazing. There are plenty of videos of vet techs who give scritches to porcupines, and I love them.
Oh, okay. I do love some cute things, but...
Ooh, give me a top five.
Of cute things that I've seen.
Johnny's top five cute things. This is our top five, by the way. And I'll give you mine.
This is completely random. Okay. The first thing that came to mind was, like, baby foxes.
Of course.
Right?
All right.
What was something I saw recently? I'm trying to... There was something I saw recently. It's bothering me. I can't remember what it was.
Moogles from Final Fantasy?
No, but I will go ahead and say, like, sloths. Baby sloths.
You know, I'm not a fan of sloths.
I watch them every once in a while on the internet. There's plenty of videos up there.
Well, I know there are, but I don't know. It's just, they're too dumb. they are. You know what kills a lot of sloths?
Walking in the road?
No, they're swinging around because they have this amazing arm strength, right? And they'll grab their own arm as a handhold and then let go with the other arm, confident that they're holding on to something like a tree branch or a vine, and they just drop out of trees because they're idiots.
How have they survived this long?
I don't know. I think that the ones that are still alive are some of the first.
That's believable for some reason. And now they have sloth sanctuary, so now they'll never go away.
Yeah. It's like the pandas.
Fucking pandas.
Did you see the headline about the panda who was pretending to be pregnant?
No.
Okay, I don't know if it knew consciously, they think I'm pregnant when I act this way, so I'm going to do it. But after trial and error of certain behavioral patterns, they found out that if they act this way, which just so happens to be
acting
consistent
pregnant
with panda pregnancy, then they
get
special attention and more food.
This thing is fucking smart.
I don't know. I don't know that they are. I think that this was a complete reaction to outward stimuli. But nevertheless, stupid. And I'll tell you did you know that they have panda DVDs and their marital aids?
What?
It's real panda pornography to show pandas
how to do it.
Well, I think the mixture of seeing the action and hearing realistic noises from the act is supposed to encourage something in the pandas. And they and humans are the only ones that need this sort of help.
Well, humans don't need it. It's just it's desirable.
If we didn't need it, it wouldn't be there.
That's not true at all.
Industry is the mother of invention.
I guess so.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
What's your next top cute thing? Is it panda porn?
No. 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 No.
By the way, pornography is the proper word. I'm not saying a swear. So go on.
Okay. Okay. Might have to edit out the silence here as I think.
Don't worry about it, dude. Just say the first thing that comes to your mind. I don't care. As a matter of fact, we move on. I've lost interest.
Baby turtles.
Baby... Oh, God. Turtles are always bad.
Hold on, let me say another couple baby things. That's the easy way out.
No, baby cobras.
No, no, absolutely not. They have to be mammals for sure.
Child soldiers.
They're little. They're in their little helmets and they're just marching along.
Having gunpowder mixed into their food because of its hallucinogenic effects.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and say kittens.
Good choice.
Yeah. Alright, that'll be it.
Alright.
And you did so damn cute.
Aw, Johnny. Personally, I loved Avatar: The Last Airbender. I haven't seen all of Legend of Korra yet. It's kind of been on my back burner, but I am gonna finish it. I love what I've seen so far. It just I love the style. I would be interested to find out why the there were two creators of Avatar: The Last Airbender, and Dante DiMitrio. And I'm interested to learn why he's not part of this project. And I'm interested to see exactly because this is, this is all on Brian.
It's all on Brian.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, this on Brian Konietzko.
Oh, okay.
It's all his. It's all his drawing. It's all his writing. It's all his everything. So I'd be very interested to see, like, if you strip away one half, exactly what's left over to see which part of him was Avatar: The Last Airbender. You know what I mean? So I'm actually pretty excited to see it. And don't forget, it's Thread Worlds. There will obviously be links below because I'm gonna follow this closely. That being said, you're gonna want to throw your hat into the ring for this one. Okay, Predator.
Yeah.
Predator is being added to Mortal Kombat X. It's Tuesday for everybody who's listening, so this would have actually been yesterday, but it's the 7th. Predator is being added, and my question to you is why?
Because gotta sell more games.
Because guys sell more games. Well, he's DLC. It's not really just.
Yeah, but that could entice someone to buy it. Well, also, I mean, it sells a DLC, which are very profitable, generally because there is not a there's no hardware involved. Usually they're just downloads, so it's all digital, which is super cheap, super profitable for the companies that make them. We're in the age of DLC, so I mean, that's the way it works now, unfortunately. But in this case, it's just a character and an add-on, and it's a character that's not even a part of the Mortal Kombat universe. So
But this isn't the first time that they've done that.
no, and they're obviously doing it because it works, because the people buy them.
Do you enjoy that aspect of the games?
No, because I'm poor and I don't usually buy DLCs.
Well, what I usually wait for is the Ultimate Edition,
Right.
and I'll pick that up for like $10 at GameStop, because by that time, people who were really interested, they bought the DLCs as they came out. So, like Mortal Kombat Complete Edition isn't exactly a hot ticket.
But I think it's cool. I do like that they do add stuff like that. Now, I would much prefer, of course, because it's less money out of my pocket, but I really enjoyed it when they did the Soul Calibur 2 or 3, the one where they had Link, I believe, was on
GameCube.
GameCube, yeah. And then Spawn was on the Xbox, and
Hitachi was PlayStation.
who was that?
Hitachi.
Who is that?
Oh, he's the guy. He's one of the guys from. He's the old guy from Tekken.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and then was it the Soul Calibur after that? They had Yoda and Darth Vader
Yes.
on different consoles.
Yoda, Darth Vader, and the unnamed apprentice who turned out to be Starkiller. Yeah. I don't know. It feels odd to me. It felt weird when Kratos was introduced. It felt very weird when Freddy was introduced. And then they did Jason for launch, didn't they?
Yes.
I don't know. For me, horror and Mortal Kombat have never really mixed. I don't know why.
Well, it's it is it, there. I think there's kind of a natural natural transition between the two worlds like that,
Think
because
so?
only because of how bloody Mortal Kombat is. No, it's not horrific, but there are horror elements to it, but they're taken less seriously. But I guess it depends on which horror movies you're talking about, because there's some, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street that some people don't take seriously at all.
I don't.
So yeah, but some people do. Like I take most horror, I take pretty seriously. I don't go watch it to make fun of a movie, depending on the movie, because there's some that are just horrible.
For me, it's basically if your plot is about an ancient magic evil tied to some mundane thing in the modern world, I've already lost interest. Give me plausible paranormal or the horror that is man.
Yeah, and I'm on that same way. I mean, I find it much more believable for sure. And I get stuff that is really good at just convincing my imagination.
Your lizard brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like Signs scares the shit out of me. That movie by M. Night Shyamalan.
Signs has absolutely no capacity to scare me. I've seen it.
Yeah, anyway, it does. Most of, actually, I'm gonna say a couple of his movies are that way, for me. But anyway,
The Sixth Sense scared me.
oh, absolutely.
But I don't like ghosts. Yeah, ghosts frighten me. I'm afraid of ghosts. I'm afraid of Dracul.
What the hell is that?
You never seen The Terminal?
No.
That's a movie where Tom Hanks plays a, I think a.
Oh, yeah. He's like Eastern European or something.
Yeah, I think he's like straight up from Romania.
Yeah.
And there's some unrest in his home.
He can't go home.
He can't go home, and if he would, and they say, and he's very the guy who runs the airport, who's in charge of who gets to be in the country, by the way. Like, that's one of their jobs, is like, okay, you're in my airport, now you get to be in America, you get to leave. He can literally sanction you. He's like, if you tell me that you're afraid to go home, then the United States will give you asylum. And he loves his country so much that he won't say that he's afraid of it. And he kind of doesn't understand the question, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm not afraid to go home. And he's like, if you tell me that you're afraid right now, you get to leave. And he was like, I'm not afraid. And so, like, the guy started escorting him out. He's like, no, I'm afraid of ghost. I'm afraid of Dracul.
That's awesome.
I love Tom Hanks, I really do. Although I haven't seen was it Captain Sorensen? Captain Jack Sparrow? What was the name of the Captain Themistocles?
I felt like I almost remembered it, and then you started saying all that. It's completely wiped it. No, it was.
I'm going with Themistocles here, because
God damn it, it's like right on the tip of my tongue.
I'll spread the word of Themistocles far and wide as often as I can, because he's awesome. He really is.
Wait, are you talking about Horsticles?
No, Themistocles,
Oh.
the real hero of the Battle of Thermopylae.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Horsticles.
Horsticles is pretty good. I enjoy that boy. He's a happy boy.
He is.
as far as me not enjoying the weird add-ons, I think that Predator, more than any of the other ones that they've added, actually fits into Mortal Kombat. He's technical, he's grotesque. They haven't really had any other aliens, but that's okay. You know,
You
why?
saying, you saying Predator fits better than Jason or Freddy or any of
By
those?
far.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, their backstories are ridiculous. I'm an ancient evil and I killed Johnny Depp in his sleep.
No, I actually kind of agree with that. I think his backstory makes more sense. And plus, Predator shows up and fights everybody. He fights Batman. He fights, I'm assuming he's fought Spider-Man and some other Marvel people because he fights every. He's fought Archie recently.
No, he didn't.
He was in an Archie comic. I'm not fucking with you.
You know, I don't like to diss other people's art, but who, I'm not, I'm not. What? And this is a legitimate question. Who reads Archie comics?
I have no clue.
Yeah, apparently they're really. Apparently, I'm missing out. Because
No, I think this was more of a desperate move to get people to read Archie comics.
I don't. But they've existed. They don't have like a government subsidy.
Well, no, let's say that they survived. Let's
Okay,
say that.
let's say that they survived. They didn't survive because they don't have readers. And I've never given them the time of day. That's my bad. Maybe we need to get into this. We need to have a big Archie episode.
There was a time when I actually read Archie comics. I never bought them, but like I think my sister had a few of them. I just decided to read through a couple because I was bored.
What'd you think?
It's completely chick stuff. It's like it has nothing to do with me. It's like
Well, no, it's not Johnny Comics.
no, I understand that, but
I wasn't mentioned in this issue of TMNT at all.
they don't call
Good
me.
day, sirs.
didn't get a shout out or anything. No, I mean they don't have anything to do with my likes and dislikes, or my likes, sorry, things I'm interested in. It has nothing. It was just, it seemed like a very girl comic to me, like a 13-year-old girl.
It was gender and age specific, right? And thusly didn't appeal to you.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, they also did like a Sonic run and a TMNT run. They've done a lot of stuff, all under the Archie brand.
Yeah, but I've only read the actual Archie storyline.
Apparently, there's a multiverse where Archie loves Betty in one version and Veronica in the other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're wondering why I know that, don't you?
No, I think you've actually brought this up before. To be completely honest, I just got a little sidetracked because I've been periodically exchanging messages with the other members of the Houston Nerdcasting Collective.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to schedule this party that we were going to at least mention on the podcast today. And that was our social media party that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the social media part. So let's go ahead and shut this down. Okay, Predator. Final thought.
Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I really, really am. I think it's gonna work more than some of the other DLCs. Stop. You know what? If you're gonna keep putting Jason and Freddy and stuff, why don't you just jump the shark, NetherRealms, and put Leprechaun into the game? Honestly.
Oh yeah, get some Warwick Davis in on that.
Put the troll from Ernest Scared Stupid, and you know what? Throw Ernest in there.
Might as well.
Dude, okay,
what?
Ernest holding Raiden's head in his hand with the spine still like flailing because the nerves haven't died, and he looks right in the camera and he's like, "Ew." AAA MLG Pro. How would that not be perfect?
I'm just Zach Nanimous stamp of approval on that. That's awesome.
Okay, so to wrap it up, we're going to talk about something. Apparently, we're finalizing it as we speak, but we, as the Nerdcasting Collective, we're going to be getting over at Casa del Johnny and Jayfree. And we're going to be having a little social media party that's specifically aimed at outreach. We're going to have some friends over who aren't part of the Nerdcasting Collective. And we're just going to sit around and we're going to play games that are actually going to reach out to the Twitter sphere, the Facebook sphere. And we're going to have a video that is unique to that party for people to like and comment on. And people are going to be getting prizes. And we're going to be live tweeting, revealing and embarrassing questions and stuff like that. And everybody gets to participate. Just make sure and check us out on Twitter. Are we confirming for Friday?
No, it's probably going to be the week after.
The week after?
Yeah, it's not set in stone yet. We're trying to kind of last minute get four different podcast schedules to line up so that we can all meet. So it's going to be a little hard, but we'll just assume it's going to be next week. And you'll have to stay tuned to find out what day.
Okay, very cool. And we're going to have another podcast before that comes out. So okay. We're obviously going to keep you updated. And if you have any questions about it, you know, drop us a line on Twitter. If you'd like to ask a few questions to the podcast, we absolutely love doing segments where we get to talk to you guys. And don't forget to check us out Facebook, YouTube, Warlocks. I forgot the name that I came up with. Warlocks Entertainment System.com, and of course the Houston Nerdcasting Collective.
Bam.
And now I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Stop it there.